want to ask you to turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This will be the fifth Think Not sermon. I've been talking to you about things the Lord says we're not even supposed to be thinking. And don't forget what Brother Jake said to us many months ago. The battle is for our minds to a large degree. We need to fill our minds with the things of God. Wash out some of the malarkey and replace it with the things of God. I need your prayers so bad. James chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 2 through 8. James chapter 1. The verse that is think not is actually in verse 7. I'll get there in a minute though. Put your phones on silent. Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Did y'all hear that? That's what we're not supposed to be thinking right there. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't even be thinking. Verse 7. Okay, now, if I were, can I give this sermon two titles this morning? Many years ago, I had a really great student named Hunter Dunn. I may have told you this story. I can't remember what I told, nor where, nor when. Hunter Dunn was a really great student, very, very intelligent. He read Goethe for fun. And he would ask me questions in the middle of class on this level up here. And finally, I'd have to say, Hunter, hush, I got to teach these other kids in here. He got to where he came to church some. Hunter Dunn did. Brought his mother. One day Hunter Dunn asked me, Mr. Harvey, why does it take so long to be wise? I want to be wise now. Doesn't that sound about like a teenager or any of the rest of us? Hunter Dunn asked a really good question. Why does it take so long to be wise? Our passage answers the question. Verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That does not mean tempted to sin. That means testings. Y'all, is it not apparent? Is it not obvious that our faith is going to be tested? Our faith is tested every day, isn't it? There's so much anti-Christian teaching in the world, and y'all, even in the religious world, there's anti-Christian teaching. Is it not obvious that our faith is tested? Now, I have not yet gotten to the point where I counted joy when that happens. That's what we're supposed to be, though. Look at that. But here's part of why we should count it joy, knowing this, that the testing or trying of your faith works patience. Remember now, God is not a Santa Claus. God is not a vending machine. You don't go up and put in your plug nickel and get patience. Amen. The testing of our faith works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect or complete work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. In other words, it sounds to me like that we've got to realize our faith is going to be tested. We've got to understand that when our faith is tested and we don't cave in, it'll cause us to be more patient, that we'll grow in patience. And if patience has its perfect work, we will be mature Christians. This, everybody in here understands, this isn't talking about how to get eternally saved. This is talking about how we as God's children become mature Christians. Then verse 5. Now I have never heard anybody preach verse 5 like I believe it is in the Bible. If any of you lack wisdom. Now, do you think you lack wisdom this morning? Every one of you better say amen. None of us have the wisdom we need. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I love that. God is a liberal giver. He's our example of why we should be liberal givers. And let me pause and say, that does not just mean money, although it does mean money. We are to be generous givers, monetarily speaking, but also in our time that we give to God. And I could go on. Giving's a big subject in the Bible. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then people stop. Okay, ask for wisdom. But here's the real question of today's sermon. Do we just ask? Just ask? I mean, is this passage really saying that all I've got to do is ask God and I get wisdom? Just pray and I get it? Is that, now if I stop reading right there, that is not what this is saying. Okay, don't think that that's what this is saying. Why does it take so long to be wise? By the way, you would not believe the commentators that say all you've got to do is pray for wisdom and you get it. Every commentator I've got in my office over here. And when they read verse 6, which says, but let him ask in faith nothing wavering, they just think that means you just got to believe as hard as you possibly can. Is that what this is saying? Now already you should know better because of what he said in verse 2, your test, the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith. Verse 3, it's going to produce patience in you. Have patience. Okay. Let patience have her perfect what? Her perfect work. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the wind, sea driven with the wind and tossed. That nothing wavering, here's what it means. Are you listening? It means never wavering in our pursuit of godly wisdom. Never wavering. How many times has Brother Mike told us, you gotta work at it? Hunter Dunn's question, Mr. Harvey, why does it take so long to be wise? I want to be wise now is evidence of the problem that is in our society. thinking that I can instantly, and people that even read this passage and say, all you got to do is pray to God and God's going to give you wisdom. And yet, may I be so rude and mean as to say our culture is as biblically illiterate as it has ever been in America. We are biblically illiterate as a culture. That's mean. But it's true. He that wavereth is like a man, is like a sea. I love that sea. It says a wave of the sea. That's not even a wave coming ashore. That's a wave out in the open ocean, driven every direction by the wind. That ought to make you think of something. Paul tells us in Ephesians, just let me quote it, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. Wait a minute. Paul, are you saying that there are men out there that are being sly and trying to trick us into believing error? Absolutely. Do you hear me? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Do you mean there are people out there that are cunningly crafty to get us to follow stuff that is not biblical, not right, not accurate? Absolutely. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now that's Ephesians 4:14. Babu will be mad if I don't say. You're welcome, Babu. So, let me say this. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Amen? It sounds to me like we're going to have to be steadfast, nothing wavering, in pursuing the wisdom of Almighty God. Not wavering, not getting distracted. Are you with me? Not being led astray by the deceitfulness and sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Okay. Now verse 7 contains the think not. Here's something you're not supposed to even be thinking. Are you with me, my brothers and sisters, whom I love so much? Let not that man. Okay, what man? The man that wavers. The man that doesn't pursue it. The man that just, all right, and this is rude. The man that thinks he can just pray to God and automatically get wisdom. Don't let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now that's pretty strong language. Don't even think that you're going to get wisdom, godly wisdom, if you're not willing to work for it. Are you listening? You'll never believe what's going through my mind. The rock and roll song, it don't come easy. You know it don't come easy. Now, I have no idea where that came from. I know. Okay, it's okay if you do think Brother Gary's crazy, but don't go out of here and tell him. That preacher is plumb crazy. It's true, but don't go tell him. But it doesn't come easy. And y'all, it's not easy on the flesh. Do you understand? We have got to override the desires of our flesh and pursue godliness, godly wisdom. We've got to eventually get to the point where we recognize bunk when we hear it. We recognize theological bunk when we hear it. And there's a load of theological bunk out there in the world. I mean, it is unbelievable. The very idea, you listening? That God would leave the eternal destiny of people up to them when they're dead in sins. Did you know that God knows better than to require work of someone who's dead in sins? Whether man knows that or not. I'm not trying to be mean. The only reason I say that, I do not say that to be mean. I don't say that. You know why I say that? In the interest of the honor of God. Only. Do not even think that you can be like Hunter Dunn wanted to be, and magic, presto, I've got wisdom. When I used to teach algebra, we had public schools when I was a child. I rode my brontosaurus to school every day. Where'd that come from? I don't know. I used to teach algebra to my students, and they wouldn't learn the basic rules, and I would get all over them. I'd scold them. I'd say, you people, here's your problem. You want to be just like the Apostle Paul? Go home, blinding light, knocked out cold, and just wake up knowing algebra. My beloved, it doesn't work that way in pursuing the wisdom of God either. The wisest among us is not wise enough. Don't even think that you can apprehend this wisdom if you waver in your pursuit of it. Are you with me now? Don't even think that. Okay, there's a whole world full of people that have been taught that. That all you got to do is ask, and the Lord pours it into your head with a funnel or something. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. See, that's so mean. Well, if I don't tell you the truth, you might think that you can just ask, but you can't. Now, y'all listen. Am I saying we shouldn't ask? 1,000 times no. Of course we should pray to God and ask for wisdom, but we've got to be willing to put legs to our prayers. Are you with me? I ask you, did not Jesus Christ himself increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man? Did he not? Okay, verse 8, kind of a culminating point here. A double-minded man. That just makes me, does it kind of make you feel that way too? By the way, this includes you women too, incidentally. It says man, this is the generic mankind, which you're not going to believe this. When I was going to grad school in 88, the women were mad that the Bible said mankind. Because it didn't include women. Like women weren't men. They weren't part of mankind. That kind of mess drove me nuts. Okay, y'all, that's the kind of malarkey that's out there that'll lead you astray. My ladies, my loved ladies, you are part of mankind. You are. So is little Miles. I know you couldn't believe that. Wait this long in this sermon to mention Miles. So is little Miles, part of mankind. He's a little bitty baby. Did you know Miles is proof you can be loved and not even know it? Say amen. You can be loved and not even know it. Okay. Don't even think that you're going to apprehend this wisdom of God. Biblical wisdom, theological wisdom. I'm even going to say moral and ethical wisdom. Do you know there's some ethical wisdom that's in the Word of God that stands opposed to the so-called ethical wisdom in the world? This is terrible. Middle-aged men and women living together out of wedlock like it's okay. That's the wisdom of the world. I say get married. What do you say? I know, that's mean. That's just mean. Double-minded. You know what that, okay, now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. Listen here. Okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, okay? I'm going to get ahead of myself if I can find it. Okay, I'm going to say here in a minute, you got to go where wisdom is. You got to look for wisdom where it is. Don't look for wisdom where it isn't. I'll get to that in a minute. Wisdom is not found on Beale Street in Memphis. It is not found in the French Quarter in New Orleans. Wisdom is not found on a deer stand or in a duck blind or in Razorback Stadium or at the Ryman Auditorium waiting on the bluegrass band to start. I'm saying that to convict myself. And it's certainly not found on network television. Amen. Now, I read all that to say, listen to me. I am not saying that you can't sit on a deer stand or in a duck blind or in Razorback Stadium or go hear some bluegrass music. But I am saying God and wisdom must be paramount in our lives. Number one, not eighth. Are you with me? This wisdom, the pursuit of it, should be number one in our lives. That means, listen, you should spend a lot of time in pursuit of wisdom. Okay, I learned a new bluegrass song this week. And I'm rearranging it and I'm writing it so it's a love song to Becky. And I know I'm a sap. Seth says I'm a sap head. That's what Seth says. Dad, you're just a sap. And I've spent a good bit of time arranging this song and rewriting the lyrics. I wonder if I've spent as much time on the things of God. Are you with me? It's okay to spend money. Do we spend money on the things of God? Do we spend time on the things of God? Do we exert effort in the things of God? I'm telling you, this is what it's all about if we're going to apprehend the wisdom of God. Do not even think that you can just pray and God's going to pour it into your head without you putting forth some effort. It is just silly to think that. And yet, preacher after preacher after preacher, and yes, primitive Baptist preachers preach it all the time, and I'm telling you, it's leading to people a merry path down a path where they will gain nothing because they've been taught something untrue. We must pursue, I'm telling you, y'all, the things of God, the wisdom of God, the things of Christ, the truth of Christ, I lovingly submit it must be top priority in our lives. Are you with me? God must be number one. That's why we worship on the first day of the week, by the way, in the New Testament era. The first day of the week belongs to God. God should be first. Okay, and we'll say this too. When I am paid, the first check I write is to God. God should be first in our financial affairs as well. I hope you young people are listening to that. Not just the young people, but all of us. But, and by the way, I've said this to you before. Then I make the house payment, the truck payment, and blah, 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 blah. Make all those payments, and the only check I like to write is the one to God. I like to write that one. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God should be, don't y'all think God should be most important? Number one, top priority? Or how far down on our list is he, I ask you? Matthew 7:7, Jesus himself said, He did not say, just pray and I'll give you wisdom. Here's what he said. Ask and it shall be given you. But he doesn't stop there. Seek and ye shall find. Don't just ask. You got to ask and you got to seek. Are you with me? This is the theme of the Bible. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, knock. Now I want to warn you, be careful the door you knock on. Amen. There's lots of doors out there that will teach you a bunch of malarkey. Okay. Now what I'm trying to show, so the think not of today's sermon, the think not is James 1:7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The man that just asks and then wavers. That just asks and doesn't apply himself. Y'all see that? Don't let that man think he's going to gain wisdom. He's not going to gain it. You got to work for it. Sometimes I think the Lord is watching us to see how much effort we're going to put forth. Don't you know the Lord's reading your mind right now? Now that's both comforting and horrifying. Okay. Well, I'm gonna get this out of order here. This is out of order. Do not seek wisdom where it isn't found. There are places where you better not go to seek wisdom. Okay? You will not find the wisdom of God, for the most part, in academia. Amen? Any of you college students concur with that? I wish Anna was here. Anna Sammons would concur with that. You're not going to find it in the bars of the world. Are you listening? You will find it in the Bible. But you will not find it, listen to me, in everything in this world that goes by the name of a Bible. Do you realize they're monkeying around with the Bible? Changing the Bible? What is up with that? We are strictly forbidden to monkey around with the Bible. I mean, for real. Not everything that goes by a Bible is a Bible. Y'all listen. The King James Version of the Bible has never been proven to contain an error of any kind. Not even in historical accuracy, scientific accuracy, grammatical accuracy, I lovingly submit that it cannot be improved upon. Who would want a Bible that's got a hidden agenda or an axe to grind or a special point to be made or that comes from a man-made school of thought, I ask you? All the people that gave us the KJV in the latter part of the 15th century, all they were instructed to do was convert the Hebrew and the Greek into equivalent English, no matter what it taught or whether they believed it or not. Are you with me? So you got to be careful which Bible you read. Be careful which door you knock on. Now, y'all, look, did you know, I need your prayer so bad, did you know that God's wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom of the gospel is contrary to your flesh? Did you know that? You know what your flesh wants? What it wants. That's what it wants. You say, boy, that's profound. But it don't just want it a little bit. The wisdom of God will tell you to crucify your own flesh. And God will help you do that. Okay, the Lord said, ask, seek, knock. I hope you're starting to see that just asking and just praying and thinking God's going to just give it to you, you know, like you know, a download. You know what a download, you know? Just pray and you get the download. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I remember Brother Don Ferris telling me, I don't know how many years ago, Gary, if I could just give you everything I know about the Bible, you know, when a Vulcan mind melt, I would do it. And let me say something. If that had happened, let's just theorize if that had happened. And Brother Don gave me a Vulcan mind melt. Of course, I know you young people don't even know what I'm talking about. But he just gave me the download. He could just transfer all of his knowledge to me. You know what? It wouldn't mean as much to me as it does now after 35 years of pursuit. You know why sometimes it's hard to apprehend the things of God? So it'll mean something to you when you get it. Parents, are you listening? Don't give your children everything. Don't do it. Make them work for something. It'll mean something to them. Make them work at home. It'll make home mean something to them. I mean it. Mean old Gary, John and Seth bought their vehicles, paid insurance. Mean old dad. Well, I hope that they appreciated it because they worked for it. Do you realize that's what God's telling us about the wisdom of God? It doesn't come in a download. Okay. All right. Now, believe it or not, this is taught all over the Bible. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. If I can find it. Man, Seth is not going to compliment this sermon. He said, Dad, you were mixed up. And he's right. Proverbs chapter 2. I don't mean to embarrass anybody. But I do, though, I know. Proverbs chapter 2. This is taught in the Bible. By the way, this guy that wrote Proverbs chapter 2, wisest guy that ever lived other than the Lord. Pretty smart guy. Did you know the book of Proverbs is crammed full of us pursuing wisdom? The book of Proverbs does not say all you got to do is just pray to God and he'll give you a download of wisdom. No, you got to seek it. You got to pursue it. This is kind of tough. Are you listening? Especially the young people. Are you willing to pursue it? Because I'm just going to tell you, if you're not willing to pursue it and do the work, you might not get it. Isn't that what the Bible's telling us here? You want to know the ultimate reason, this is very hard, the ultimate reason America is so biblically illiterate is that so few people are seeking the wisdom of God on a consistent basis in their daily lives. And I can't make you do that. I can't do it for you. You all have to do it for yourself. Are you with me? That's just the way it is. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1. Listen to this. My son, if, that's a big if right there, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. See, automatically starts out, we got to hide it. You know where you hide the words of God? In your heart. In your mind. Amen. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply, what? Do what? Apply thine heart to understanding. Look at those action verbs there. You got to hide it. You got to incline your ear. You got to apply your heart. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, when I read that this week, you know what I thought? Like a dog on a bone. How important is this knowledge? Are y'all listening to me? This wisdom, this knowledge will save you. It'll save you from the world. It'll save you from the gunk that's out there. And incidentally, it's the only thing that will. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as what? Silver. And searchest for her as for hid treasures. Now, you know what he's saying there? Like wealth. May I lovingly submit to you, my beloved, this wisdom of God is greater wealth than all the riches of this world. There's no comparison. If you have to give up a little bit of worldly wealth to get this spiritual wealth, it's a good trade. And sometimes that is required. And sometimes that's the very reason why people don't apprehend this spiritual wisdom I'm trying to describe to you. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, am I saying you quit your job? Of course not. The Bible also says that he that won't provide for his own, worse than an infidel. He that won't work, neither should he eat. And I was telling them this morning and last night, this is me, this is really me. When I see somebody panhandling at the stoplight that is lame, I'll think a little differently. Amen? Okay. Where did that come from? I don't have any idea. Okay, we're back up. If thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest for her silver, search for her as hid treasures, then. Now, does this sound like you can just ask for it and God's going to pour it into your head? No. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Everybody understand? So over there in James, if I stop reading in the book, look at that again. If I stop reading in the book of James and I just ignore the context of the whole first half of chapter 1 in James, well, yeah, I can come to that conclusion, but I'm not allowed to do that, y'all. I'm not allowed to do that. You remember what Brother Kevin Kennedy said, don't you? Context, context, context. Boy, was he right. Listen to this here. I'm going to read to you again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You got to read all of that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Isn't that, everybody understanding? So why is the world so biblically illiterate? Because we're not willing to do the work. As a culture, it is very sad, is it not? Very sad. Terrible, in fact. Okay, now I want to read you one more in Proverbs. Proverbs 4 and 7. This is so, sometimes the Bible is almost humorous. Proverbs 4 and 7. While you're turning to that, I think we've already had the Super Sunday. What's coming this afternoon is nothing to compare with that song service. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Didn't y'all agree with that? Incredible. Now listen to this here. All right, before I read this, how many of you, you know, hear people say, well, get a life, right?
get a life.
Well,
and you know, and a lot of people are spending a lot of time getting stuff. Boy, don't we spend time getting stuff?
I'm guilty. I'm always wanting another book.
Mike was at the house. He said, man, you got a lot of books. I said, boy, I'd have more than this if I had room for them. Think of how much stuff, may I say irrelevant stuff, we get.
Here's what Solomon said. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7.
Wisdom is the what? The principal thing. The main thing. The most important thing. Not books, guitars. Right?
Therefore, get wisdom. I love that.
Okay, we get a lot of junk. Let's come on, let's face it. We got a lot of junk.
You get stuff in your house, you run out of room, you put it out in the garage. Park your truck in the driveway. Because you got to move your stuff out to the garage. Of course, nobody, no. Got stuff, don't we? Got stuff that's old, should have gotten rid of years ago. Anybody else like that?
Would you not be willing to admit it might be pretty important that we get wisdom? And y'all, it says get it. That means pursue it, get it, chase it like a dog on a bone. I mean, you know, focus on it. Don't let the stuff of this world turn you aside, because all the stuff that's in the world is going to be bad compared to this wisdom. Are you with me? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, see, get understanding. That's what I'm telling you. The Bible is saying we got stuff. We got junk. Right? With all you're getting, make sure you don't forget to get you some understanding. Isn't that what that's saying? Okay. Merciful heavens. All right. Let me just say another word or two here. I think I'm going to quit early. I know you're flabbergasted at that. You're saying, boy, that'll make this a Super Sunday. I know what you're thinking. I know I tell you I love you. Do y'all understand I love you? I mean, okay. You got to seek wisdom where it's found. Read the right Bible. Do you know how many Bibles? There are 300 plus Bibles. 300 plus so-called Bibles. I wonder how culture survived from 1611 to 1911 with only one Bible. How'd that happen? And how is it that the culture was stronger then without 300 so-called Bibles? You got to be careful where you look for wisdom. Wisdom is found in the Bible. And my brothers and sisters, whom I love, wisdom is found in the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not a works system. Do you understand? A works system is not the wisdom of the Bible. The wisdom of the Bible teaches that grace is free to you and me. Did you know, you say, well, is not eternal life a gift? Yes. But listen to me. Are you listening? Eternal life is not a gift given to a living person. Eternal life is a gift given to a dead person. Someone who's dead in sins, and the gift given to that dead person is life itself. That is the wisdom of God, taught in the Bible and in the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to read it. I want you to go home and read Proverbs 8, 1 through 12. I'm not going to read it, but you go home and read it. Go home and read Proverbs 8, 1 through 12, where it speaks of the church in the feminine gender and personifies her as wisdom. It speaks of the church as if she was wisdom. Go read it. Okay. I appreciate you like I can't describe. Love you with all my heart.
Two things. This, do you understand why it takes so long to be wise? Everybody understand why it takes so long to be wise?
Why it's not an instant thing? And does everybody in here understand that we are not even to think that if we just ask the Lord for wisdom without pursuing it, that we'll get it?